we're back on the Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. We're tapping into the Brinker's Jewelers Hotline. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat, 1 to 3 o'clock every single weekday here on WREF, talking IU football. And who else would we have on the program to recap a 27-21 national championship victory, the first in program history for Indiana football over the weekend, really on Monday night. Jim, really appreciate the time. How we feeling?
Awesome, man. I mean, there's no other way to feel. Even from somebody who worked in the media and covered it, it's amazing to be a part of that. It's awesome I consider it an honor to get to cover a national championship team of this caliber. So it's a lot of hard work, but we're not digging ditches, and it's and getting to bring this to the people who can't be there. It's almost a responsibility, man. You got to do it and do it right. They deserve it. So heck yeah, man. We got a job to do, and we have to do it and do it well. And when you've got people that you're covering that are like this, that are giving their all, that are achieving so much. It just makes it that much easier to do. And seeing the fans, the way they've turned out, my God, it's been mind-boggling, Brad. I saw them take over the Rose Bowl with the big chunk of the audience there. Then at the Peach Bowl, they exceeded even my expectations. It was basically Indiana. Oregon was just a complimentary there. But then you go to Miami. We're at the Hard Rock Stadium, where the Miami Hurricanes play their home game, and yet Indiana fans are 65% of the stadium again.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's just been amazing on every facet to watch this, man, to see this, the turnaround, to see the fan base completely embrace it, and guess what? Indiana's a co-favorite to win the Natty next year already.
Yeah, well, across that bridge when we get there, obviously the transfer portal and all that stuff, that's what it all kind of hinges on. But I'll tell you what, when I was talking about this team with you and without you, especially at the end of the playoff run, you got the portal opening up and you hear all this news. Oh, IU got this guy, IU got that guy, the quarterback from TCU, this player from Notre Dame, that player here, that player there. I said, you know what, on the program, I'm not looking at it, I'm not thinking about it, because I wanted to give this team their due, and it really is a special team, really special year, the most special year. And you can make the argument that it's the most special story in the history of our lifetimes in covering sports. It's right there. And the turnaround over the past couple of years with Kurt Cignetti, we've talked about it time and time again, unprecedented, unbelievable, until they got there. And when they got there to Hard Rock Stadium, they were the heavy favorite, the number one team overall in the nation, even though they were playing a quote-unquote road game. Everyone expected them to win. And I'll tell you what, Jim, the game, it was closer than I thought it was going to be.
Well, I wasn't surprised. I thought it was going to – I thought that, you know, a 10-point game would be where it was. But no surprise that it was closer. It's a championship game. And while Miami's offense was nothing that I thought Indiana couldn't handle, the defense was going to be imposing, and yet Indiana managed to handle them in the first half, so to speak. They didn't, you know, they didn't jump out to a gigantic lead, but they got through it, and they did a good job with it. Then in the second half, the third quarter, Miami kind of made adjustments. Their first touchdown, man, Isaiah Jones was right. Indiana was in perfect position. I don't know if he just didn't see him because he got around the corner, and as soon as he did, he was gone. Mm. And Miami made some other plays on another drive that was a legit long drive scoring touchdown. So they had Indiana defense on their heels in the third quarter. But then the fourth quarter, Indiana kind of turned it around. I don't remember when Fernando made that remark, his touchdown. That may have been in the third quarter still, but that really – that ignited everybody, and the defense came to life. You had the punt block again, a second game in a row that a punt is blocked for a touchdown, And then the defense comes up with a gigantic interception to seal this game. Fernando, as I said, made that run, the scoring drive that will live in Indiana lore forever. Already seeing pictures up, you know, it's comparable, but on a much grander scale than the Michael Penix Jr. photo reaching for the pylon against Penn State to start that great year that they had in, was it 2021 or so? But this is just incomparable. It's unimaginable. It's nearly impossible, but it happened, and it is real, and it is real incredible.
You know, Jim, I'll take the Fernando Mendoza play, that fourth down and four draw for a 12-yard touchdown. I'll take it to another level. I actually think that it is right there, and you tell me if I'm crazy, with the Keith Smart shot. I'm not saying that Keith Smart was leapfrogged on Monday night, but I'm saying he's got company. With the magnitude of that play and the heroic nature of it, taking shot after shot on that 12-yard run, Fernando Mendoza diving into the end zone, I think that's the number two play in IU athletic history.
You know what? That is a great comparison, and I guess I'll have to do a poll and find out. But
gotta think about it.
Great comparison.
He, look, again, it's not that Keith Smart was leapfrogged, but he's got company now.
No. I'm thinking because Indiana had won a national championship before, so there's that. That doesn't take away from what Keith Smart did and his shot. Trust me, it's amazing. But this was for a first time ever natty for a program that didn't deserve to be in the conversation 2 years ago. It has to be up there. You're right. I mean, there's no way it doesn't. It will get played just as much now. Maybe even in basketball, they should insert that in the promo video because it'll jack you up no matter who you are, and it's a great comparison, and I agree. It is. It's 1A and 1B.
Yeah.
You let the fans decide which is A and which is B, but yeah. He didn't have to take a shot in the back. He didn't have to go through the gauntlet of players to get to the end zone that Fernando did. But, yeah, great comparison, and I like it.
All right, so let's talk about the game itself here. In the fourth quarter, Kurt Cignetti twice goes for it on fourth down. It works out both times. The fourth
Onion.
Down and five. Incredible.
Onion.
Again, right? And so I'm watching at home, and I know my girlfriend was actually at the watch party at Assembly Hall. She's an IU alum, and she was telling me about the vibe at Assembly Hall. I don't think the consensus of the fans thought it was a good idea. I think most people wanted to kick on both occasions. And I can tell you this, I wanted to kick on both occasions. What was the vibe at Hard Rock Stadium? How did people feel about the actual play call for Kurt Cignetti to go for it on fourth down and five around midfield? Would have been a 50-something yard field goal, and then to go for it again on fourth down and four in the red zone with an opportunity to make it a 6-point game. He goes for it and eventually a 10-point game.
I think Indiana fans, like the rest of us, are smart enough to say, hey, whatever he does, I want more of that. because he's pushing the right buttons at the right times, pulling the strings at the right times. He seems to kind of know what he's doing. So I am not going – I've questioned people in the past. This is not somebody I'm going to question.
No.
his eye for talent is just – this timing on when to do things. We saw this happen through the season when they had to do these type of things. Not just fourth down necessarily, but the touchdown at Iowa, the touchdown at Penn State.
Yeah.
And I asked Kurt Cignetti about, you know, nothing to do with this, but how he's going to actually absorb this. And one of the things he mentioned in his great long answer was, you know, how huge that Penn State ending was to this team and where they are now. You know, it wasn't about, even if they lost the game, they still would have made the CFP.
Yeah.
But if they lost that game, the mystique was gone. They didn't lose the game. They won that game. The mystique stayed and grew, and it blossomed into what you saw, a 16-0 national champion for the first time ever. I don't even want to hear about that 1894 Yale team. That, I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. I'm like, no. Football in 1894, when Doc Holliday was the coach, not stop comparing that to what this just happened.
Yeah, but if it's wow. Before the First World War, you don't get to stake a claim to best college football team ever. That's my rule.
Yeah, but to really answer your question, they kind of know what they're doing, but it's not. I'm not saying that flippantly. They study that it's down in distance. It's what Kurt Cignetti is so smart, and this is one of the things. One of my biggest knocks on Tom Allen was he was so jubilant all the time. He was always in the moment, jumping with the players and celebrating. You can't do that as a head coach.
Yeah.
And because if you are, you cannot be thinking about what you need to do two plays from now, much less one play from now, which is what Kurt Cignetti does and is always doing and is looking at what he thought he needed. And the reason he went for it, he's like, yeah, I don't want – that's not – I don't want to go up three. He knows – he knew what was going to take to win that game, and he was right. And so he was right to do it. And, of course, it's easy to say that when it works.
Yeah.
If it didn't work, you know, how do we react? I don't know. But I think that they still would have found a way to do it somehow. But they seem to pull the right strings at the right time every time. And sometimes it takes – no, it always takes some luck, Brad, to win any national championship. Go back and watch any of the teams. Watch this team. Rewatch this game. In the third quarter when that Miami defense was really getting after Fernando, there was a time they got to him for a sack, but the ball was actually semi-loose, and Fernando was strong enough to hold on to it. Man, that would have been a major turnover because that was in Miami territory.
And not to mention the
– Indiana territory.
Yeah, yeah. And not to mention the penalties that Miami committed. That's I want to call that luck for IU because, I mean, just think about the last drive.
Oh, the one they didn't get called on?
Yeah, well, that too. I mean, and Kurt Cignetti had plenty to say about it and the shots that Mendoza took. But we knew that Miami was going to be physical and pressure, and I don't want to say dirty, but we'll just say play through the whistle, okay, because that's what they do. And Fernando Mendoza obviously took shot after shot after shot, and there were plenty of calls, but maybe not quite enough to make it quite fair and balanced. But, yeah, Miami got after the quarterback, and we knew they were going to do that. One thing I was impressed with, though, was even though IU didn't pressure Carson Beck all that much, Beck only had one sack, it was the secondary just playing out of their mind. I mean, how many times, especially in the first half when Miami didn't score once, did we see Beck have a wide-open pocket? He's just sitting there and still can't find anyone downfield. That's Pons and that's everyone else. Played so well in the secondary for the IU defense.
Brad, you're 1,000% right. They did. Right to the end where they sealed it with that interception.
Yeah.
But D'Angelo Bonds, man, his nickname should be Velcro. He is Velcro. He is like Velcro. They couldn't get rid of him. He defended so many passes so well. I think he got called for a PI once. Lewis Moore always playing well. The entire secondary, man, they just – and then the who got the interception? I'm drawing
Jamar
a blank
Sharp.
On his name, but he's a Miami native.
Yeah.
It's
incredible. It's an incredible story. I will say this, though. Sharp bails out the offensive line on that false start that forced IU on their last drive of the night to kick a field goal instead of going for the touchdown. I think they, without that penalty, would have had six there and would have iced the game with about a minute, 50 seconds left. Instead, you give Miami the ball down six with a minute 40, no timeouts granted. They're marching down the field, and Sharp picks off back at the end to bail out the IU offensive line. When that mistake was made, I actually thought that Miami was going to go down the field and win the game, and they almost did. How did you feel in real time about the way IU's chances were ironing out after that false start?
Well, they had just managed to take advantage of those mistakes. And like like I said, in the third quarter, boy, Miami had Indiana on their heels.
Yeah.
And they had to kind of get their self gathered back up. But and that was part of that. And that was that in the third quarter?
The false start?
Yeah.
Well, the false start I'm thinking of is IU's last drive of the fourth quarter when they kicked the field goal to go up by six and then gave back an opportunity with a minute 40 left to go down the field.
Oh, that was, boy, I'll be honest with you. It brought a lot of uneasiness.
Yeah.
Because that 6-point differential, I know Kurt Cignetti, if you think he was straining on the decision earlier to go for it, this one was probably one that he really wanted to do it again, but he knew better to roll the dice probably. That would have been maybe too much to ask, and it was the smart thing to do without question, and we don't always see Cignetti do the normal thing. Sometimes, obviously, like the time before, he goes outside of the box. And I know that was driving him crazy because I'm sitting there thinking about it. I know everybody's thinking about it. Miami's got a score. We know that. But they're going to be going for it, and they have enough talent. We saw the Marcus touchdown with 57-yard run. They have speed. They had Tony at receiver, so they were able to do some things. But, man. Yeah, Indiana not being able to get that touchdown. And you leave it up to the defense, and guess what? The defense came through.
Hey, Jim, let's go macro on this. Again, Jim Coyle on the Brinker's Jewelers phone line talking about IU football and their first ever national championship. I say first because I'm expecting more out of Kurt Cignetti the way he's built this program. It is designed to last, which is obviously part of the excitement in Bloomington right now. We know how this team this year is going to be remembered. Locally, regionally, statewide. What about nationally? Because I don't see any reason to believe that IU should not be talked about in the pantheon of best college football team ever. The first ever 16-0 undefeated national champion. You forget about Yale from before the 1900s even began. I'm thinking of the Joe Burrow-led Ja'Marr Chase-featured LSU Tigers in 2019 when they won the national championship, but I don't see any reason to believe that IU wouldn't be right there with that.
I agree with you, and for national people, they don't have a choice. I don't care what they want to say, but most are smart enough to see what's going on. When Las Vegas already makes Indiana as a co-favorite,
yeah,
there you go. But that doesn't, in this day and age, that doesn't always mean a lot. Who was the favorite last year?
I can't even tell you.
I don't even know. So, but
probably Texas.
Probably. You're probably right, because I was already seeing where Arch Manning is the favorite for the Heisman next year. But to answer your question, they don't have a choice. Indiana has done everything that everybody else couldn't do. They beat everybody from every conference to win this championship. They beat one of the best, if not the second or third best in the Big Ten. They beat the vaunted Alabama Crimson Tide from the SEC. They beat Miami of the ACC. Who had the second best bowl record behind the Big Ten. So they beat Ohio State to win the Big Ten championship. What else do you want them to do? I would ask that person. This is the team that virtually no one gave a chance to do something like this. So they don't have to do anything else. They're winning, and they're winning with the guys they have. And this is not about having the most expensive guys in the country, because they don't. Fernando Mendoza, I will guarantee you, was one of the most underpaid quarterbacks in the country last year. I'm just going into numbers. He was much less paid than most of the other guys, and I'm talking about guys that most people don't even know.
Right.
So it's not NIL. Indiana's not buying this. It's the right guys in the right place being coached by the right people. And I know that sounds too simple for it to be accurate, Brad, because it does to me. It does to everybody. Because if it was that easy, everybody would do it. But it's not that easy. You have to have the eye for talent that Kurt Cignetti obviously has, but you also have to have the will to be on your process, on how you do what you do, and the people you have around you. There's a reason why these guys have stayed with Cignetti for as long as they have. His offensive coordinator, Mike Shanahan, and defensive coordinator, Brian Haynes, have been with him for over 10 years.
Yeah.
A dozen for Brian, I think, and other guys long as well. You don't stay with a guy that long for no reason. And they like winning, too. So that's another reason why this will continue. There's probably going to be some losses. I mean, I've heard a rumor of a particular coach possibly leaving to be a DC someplace else, one of the position coaches. That is going to happen. You're not going to keep every coach off of this large coaching staff every year. They're going to move up because when success breeds success. But they're keeping the most important pieces right now. I don't see Mike Shanahan nor Brian Haynes going anywhere anytime soon, nor Kurt Cignetti. So if you've got that triple crown and Bob Bostad at the offensive line and Pat Koontz on the defensive line and the core pieces, Kane, the special teams coach that he's had for a number of years, man, you've got the core pieces. And as long as they keep those together and keep regenerating that, they are going to be in the conversation year in and year out. Kurt Cignetti's got a contract for a decade.
Yeah.
And every time he wins like this, it gets bumped up a year.
Make it a lifetime contract.
Not far from it, to be honest with you. But I don't know. I mean, truthfully, I mean, because, well, they have to renegotiate his contract every year in like a circumstance like this. And he has to remain as one of the top three paid head coaches in the nation. So he's going to get a raise. I will not be surprised if Indiana goes ahead and makes him the highest paid coach in college football.
He certainly deserves it. There's no doubt about that. And again, Jim Coyle here on WREM talking about IU football as national champions. And, of course, with him being boots on the ground in Miami, Jim, I've got one more question for you before I let you go. I really appreciate your time here. You've covered the national championship. The team that you cover for a living won. So I don't know if you've ever been skydiving, but what else is on the bucket list for Jim Coyle?
Man, that's a great question. Right now, some rest.
and I
can, you know, because I know how hard it was for us to cover it. So that makes me think of the players and the coaches that, you know, the media responsibilities they had to go through for all the three games they had to play in. It's much different than the regular season. You don't have those. It's once a week, you know, after the game. That's it. Well, man, I landed Friday. There was stuff to do Friday night, early Saturday morning, all day Saturday, media day, Sunday morning, head coach press conferences, and Monday was the game. It was boom, 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 stuff for them to do. So it kept them busy as well. And so they go through a lot of different things. So that also makes this what Indiana accomplished amazing, because they were taken completely out of their normal routine, what they have done all season long, but Kurt Cignetti managed to keep them in that same mindset, bubble mindset, that they played in all season. And you finish 16-0, first time ever, college football national champions. Amazing.
No doubt. Again, Jim, really appreciate you taking the time today, but also throughout this football season. I know we're going to hear from you plenty on the fallout of the football season, and also with the basketball season kind of ramping up into the teeth of the Big Ten schedule, but really appreciate you taking the time throughout this season. Obviously, a really special run. You made it even more special for us here on WREF. On the Refs Call, yeah, but also 1-3 every single weekday on Indiana Sports Beat. It's been an honor.
Buddy, it's my pleasure as well as always. Appreciate everybody down in the Evansville area, and look forward to keep on, because it's going to be a lot to talk about with football. And there's, like you said, a lot more to talk about with football than basketball right now. They've just wounded, and they'll get through the season. But football's got a lot of recruits this weekend. They got a big celebration, by the way, for people to know about. If you want to come, it's at Memorial Stadium. Look on social media. You can see all the stuff. But I they're one more tailgate. Why not?
Yeah,
man,
why not?
It'll be cold, but who cares, man? So, yeah, come out and celebrate. But and then they've got a bunch of big-time recruits they'll be bringing in on top of the guys they've already gotten, Brad. So it's a nonstop, and that's why when I asked Kurt Cignetti how he could absorb this, he you know, it's go to my YouTube channel to see the whole thing, but he's just like, hey, I got stuff to do, man, and he's right. So he'll get to rest in the summer, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. He can rest when his lifetime contract expires. How's that?
Exactly.
Again, that's Jim Coyle, Indiana Sports Beat here on WREF. With that, we take a step aside. Dunk Awani, where you're listening to The Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan, a 97.7. Listen to TheRef.com and the WREF mobile app.